Well, hello. Welcome to the fabulous, fabulous Radio Today program this week. We have got something a little bit different for you. We're turning our attention to student radio. Student Tom Horn has been in touch. He says he'd love to talk to his boss, Leo Jocelyn, the station manager at Leeds Student Radio, all about student radio operating during a pandemic. Now, you think with students not being in universities, there'd be very little point. So we'll find out what that's all about and the answer to that question on today's programme. Welcome along.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Now, before we get into the main interview, I'd like to draw your attention to something new from James Cridland. He's got a new podcast with himself and Sam Sethi talking about podcasts. That's right, the world is eating itself. It's a podcast about podcasts. This is what it sounds like.
Welcome to Podland. Podland is sponsored by Buzzsprout, the easiest way to host, promote, and track your podcast there at buzzsprout.com. It's Thursday, January the 28th, 2021. I'm James Cridland, the editor of Pod News here in Australia.
And I'm Sam Sethi, the editor of Sam Talks Technology here in the UK.
And I'm Jared Edwards from Podcast Radio. And later, I'll be talking about how podcast radio is growing in the UK.
And I'm Melissa Mbugua from Africa Podfest, and I'll be on later to talk about podcasting in Africa.
And I'm Matt Deegan, and later I'll be talking about the British Podcast Awards and Podcast Day 24.
They will. Podland is a weekly podcast where Sam and I delve deeper into the week's podcasting news, which I cover daily at podnews.net.
And that sounds really good. All the presenters coming on at the beginning, introducing themselves and saying what's going to come up on their bit during the podcast later on. And you can find out more and listen to them all and subscribe at www.podland.news. And yes, you do need the W's, otherwise it won't work. I'm sure James can sort that one out. Right, on with the main feature after this short presentation.
Travel news on the radio remains an important feature for listeners.
Tickletrat intersection is a bit on the slow side at the moment, and if you're heading towards Liverpool on the M58, those lane closures near Skelmersdale will slow you.
And with an audio travel bulletin supplied by Radio Travel News, it continues to be an important element, not only for your output, but also for your income.
In the West Midlands, M6 heading south, just approaching Junction 7 at Great Bar. It's slow because of an accident earlier on today.
Radio Travel News bulletins are the perfect feature to be sponsored. They provide real-time relevant information to your listeners, attracting a premium price without any of the hassle to you.
The A12 is closed through Essex all day today for roadworks, and that is causing some queues. There is a diversion to follow using the app.
Our unbranded bulletins are reliably researched, professionally voiced, and delivered directly to your radio station via Dropbox. Using your own playout software, this audio update can automatically appear in your log within minutes of being recorded.
In the northwest, the M62 eastbound between junctions 11 and 12 at Warrington and Birchwood, there's been an accident that has closed the hard shoulder and lane.
We cover the whole of the UK, with regional bulletins available in a growing number of locations, and breaking news bulletins offered out of hours to all clients.
The M6 in Warwickshire is queuing on the northbound side. There's a lane closure there, 4 miles of standing traffic.
See more and sign up today at radiotravelnews.com. Radio Travel News, moving you forward.
I'm Tom Horn. I'm normally a presenter on Leeds Student Radio, so today I thought we could dig into what it's like to work on student radio, why do it, and how does it work if no one's at university? Earlier, I spoke to Leo Jocelyn, station manager at Leeds Student Radio, who also happens to be my boss. So, no pressure.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.
Welcome to the podcast.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
What's it like producing from home? So you've been producing core shows from home during the November lockdown.
Yeah. So basically when we got, I think it was 2.5 weeks worth of in-studio broadcasting before the November lockdown hit us. And then we're kind of left with a choice of, or a decision to make on how we keep doing, because we wanted to keep doing the radio, obviously, because I think, you know, it's quite a relief for a lot of people to be able to do it while they're in lockdown. But the best way we decided to do that was kind of I built a makeshift radio station in my dining room kitchen and did it. So all of our, so we've got core shows at Leeds Student Radio. So, you know, like your breakfast, new sport, home time, all of those ones. And so I decided that the best way to keep those going live would be having me produce them and the presenters call in using the software called Clean Feed, which is like Zoom or whatever, but just audio.
Yeah.
Which
is that not really hard work if you're doing that, you know, so many times a day, every day?
Yeah. I mean, the first, it took, I think, 3 days for us to set up the station and make sure everything was working. The first 2 days, the Monday and Tuesday of broadcasting, were so long because there was so many like tech problems and a lot of people hadn't used Clean Feed before or hadn't, you know, were kind of had to get over that barrier of presenting over a laptop or a phone. So those first two, I went to bed on the Tuesday just being like, how on earth am I gonna do this for like 4 or 5 weeks? Like, I'm knackered after 2 days. But I think after a couple of weeks, all the presenters were getting into the swing using Clean Feed. We had better internet connection and it was kind of, everyone getting more used to it. So I think by the end of the third week, obviously it was really time consuming for me, but in terms of that kind of the technical headaches, those had been ironed out by that point.
You'd got over it. Yeah. I had to say, I feel your pain because I think I was on the second show of recording from home ever.
So yeah.
On the Monday. And yeah, it was a tech. And then it's just weird, isn't it? Like sitting in your bedroom, just talking to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, we couldn't even see each other.
Yeah. Cause I did a few during the first lockdown. I recorded a podcast every week and it was kind of, it took a lot of getting used to, especially for those first few weeks when we had a worse internet connection, because there's like a second lag between the presenters. So you can't present in the way that you'd normally do if you're in a studio with that lag. Because in a studio, you know, you'd have back and forth, you know, people cracking jokes and coming in. But with the second lag, like you'll say something that you think's funny, and then they'll just be like
silence.
And like, oh, what? That was funny. And then like you'll say something else and then someone will start laughing and then you'll stop saying what you're saying and then they'll stop laughing and be like, sorry, what are you saying? It's like, but we started using an Ethernet cable after a couple of weeks.
Obviously, we're in a third national lockdown now, and broadcasting starts up again in a couple of weeks. So any plans to do the same again or are you just going to have a break this time?
Yeah, no, it'll be same again. Don't worry. It was, yeah, we had a decision to make. There were a few options. Because the thing with this one is we don't know when this lockdown's going to end. With the November lockdown, they kind of gave us a clear end date at the start of it. But this one, we don't really know when it's going to finish. So we didn't want to, there was the option of delaying applications by a couple of weeks and hoping we're allowed back in like mid to end of Feb, but we didn't want to take the risk and then be running applications like just before Easter and then you've got the Easter break. And I think we came to the decision that obviously it's not perfect, but the best way to do it is to run applications now, which will be after the January exam period like we normally would, and then do remote radio until we're allowed back in, because that gives people the chance to either, if they're doing a core show, do it live by phone in, or if they've got their individual show, record that from home and then have it pre-recorded and broadcast.
Yes.
So it just gives people, it gives them people, the most people, the chance to do a show if they want to.
Yeah. So just on that theme, what do you think the purpose of a student station is? Because obviously you want to give everyone a chance and make sure that everyone can practice, but at the same time you've got to have good quality engaging content, else no one's going to listen.
It's one of the interesting things about running LSR, because you've got to accommodate for all our members' different interests. There's quite a spectrum of what people want to get out of LSR. So on one end you've got people who literally just join it as a society, as a bit of extracurricular stuff to do at university, you know, for an hour or two a week just to have some crack with their mates. Then on the complete opposite end, you've got people who see LSR and student media as the start of kind of a career in media. It's their work experience. And every year we have a few people who go on to work in the media, like in like all different parts of the industry. So you've kind of got to accommodate for the complete spectrum of what people want to get out of student radio. You have some people who see it as kind of their portfolio. It's their demo tapes. It's what they're giving to employees when they graduate, saying, I want to work in media. Here's what I'm capable of. And then you've got people who, you know, just want to come on the radio and play some music they like for an hour. So it kind of is, you've got to accommodate and find the balance for everyone to make it a successful society.
Yeah. Sounds like a good mix.
And yeah.
With these people, look, these people who are trying to become professional and just trying to build up a portfolio, like you said, can you spot them? I mean, obviously you've worked on the station quite a long time. So yeah. You've seen quite a few people go through. You can go and just look at someone, you're going to say you're going to be on Radio 1 in 10 years.
Yeah, you can spot them because they're in the studio every day. they're the keen beans, yeah. No, I mean, obviously there's so many different ways you can work in the industry. Like some people, like the good presenters, you can tell if somebody's a good presenter because there's just kind of this rapport that you have if you're really comfortable in front of the mic and can kind of just talk. But then there are people that want to work, you know, like in production or kind of, I know, the creative side or the marketing side, the branding and design aspect of the media industry, that quite a lot of it you can just tell by how passionate they are. There are some people at LSR who just put in so much work across the radio, but also they're part of other media societies, the TV, the Griffin, or the other written publications we've got at the universities. You can tell just by how passionate they are that it's kind of the career for them.
They just live and breathe it.
Yeah, they're just so keen. It's what they really want to do. And I think that that kind of shows you that it's a career for them, yeah.
Do you think something different is needed from radio at the moment? Because obviously we're in lockdown. Mm. And do you think people want escapism, or are they looking for someone who can kind of hold their hand and get them through this time and acknowledge their problems that everyone's kind of feeling at the moment?
I think both, really. They kind of go together. So, you know, it's a source that people can turn to, you know, if they're living on their own or, you know, they're missing their mates, they live far away from their family or something, they're having to work from home. It can be an accompaniment, so something to support you, you know, saying, yeah, you might be on your own or living in a bad house or whatever, but, you know, radio's here for you to tune in.
Yeah.
But then through music or whatever sort of radio you're interested in, it does also offer an escapism in that form. So it's sort of like an accompaniment and a release in the same time.
Yeah. Have you had much response from listeners? Because I know that I've had a couple of messages just from my one show of people saying, I really enjoyed your stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's given me a laugh. Like, especially at the moment, it's just what everyone needs.
Yeah, there was a nice post on Facebook. In Leeds, there's a Facebook group called Leeds Student Group that's kind of massive. I think it's got like 40,000 members or something. It's basically like a big student notice board. But someone did a nice post in that, kind of, I think, 2 weeks into the second lockdown, you know, when I was thinking, oh God, this is so tiring and so much work. But someone did a post like saying, oh yeah, I just want to kind of show gratitude for the student media societies that have kept going in the lockdown and, you know, kept up the content because we're all at home, you know, bored and lonely. But then everyone was tagging their mates from student media under it, but no one tagged me. I'm looking at all my mates, and like Safi from the Griffin and Elijah from the TV are getting tagged, and like
no one's
tagging their mates that do shares. And like, yeah, great work. And I'm just there like, why has no one tagged me? What's going on? I do so much production. Someone tag me.
But
posts like that kind of, especially after 2 weeks when you were, when I was thinking, oh God, you know, am I going to keep doing this for the whole lockdown? His posts like that were like, oh, you know, this is worth
it. Yeah, keeping you going.
But I get that from presenters as well. Like they say after a show, they'll be like, I'm so happy we can still do this, that I can still do this show with my friends, because yeah, it's something I look forward to each week for those 2 hours of just having fun on the radio. That's something that really kind of I look forward to, and it breaks up kind of the monotony, especially if they're, you know, in isolation and lockdown but still having to do uni work. They kind of need that release as well, and hearing presenters saying that the radio gave them that kind of makes it worthwhile. It makes you feel kind of quite good and happy. Yeah,
I agree. I mean, I found it's just a nice way to talk to someone different, you know, even if it just someone you don't live with or just outside your flat. But anyway, I want to move on and talk about you a bit now. and your job. So talk us through like your typical day, like if you're in the office, how does it work being a station manager?
In a normal time, if I can remember back to those good old days, it would be, it's kind of a weird job because it's, I've been doing radio since my second year and I did 5 years of uni. So I kind of worked my way up in terms of involvement in LSL. Like I started off doing breakfast for just 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, did a couple of shows, my own show, music core show, became more and more involved, was on committee as co-head of music and was in the office like every day. And then now I'm the manager as my grad job. So it's kind of, it's weird being in this position now, having each year just been more and more involved.
Progressed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird if I think back to my second year when I joined, when kind of the station manager was this mystical all-knowing like being that could solve any tech problem and knew how radio worked and like was always in the office behind a desk. And now I'm like, oh no, they don't know anything.
Do you have to juggle a lot of things? Because obviously like you're producing or you're presenting or you're solving someone else's problems or you're putting out the social media or
I mean, it is, I think in a normal time, there'd be a lot more juggling because you've got obviously the radio side sitting there and having people come in and do radio all day and being there to help them. Then you've got the organizing event side, kind of, we are sort of a business. So you've got the business side of it as well, you know, advertising and sponsorship. Working with other societies, your place within the union, with the radio for all the universities in Leeds as well. So you've got to kind of be there and visible
for everyone,
for like four or five different universities. So in normal time, there's certainly a lot more juggling, but even now there is quite a lot of juggling. That was the annoying thing about doing radio from home, because I'd start at like 8:30 in the morning and then finish at like 5:30, 6:00. And then I'd be like, oh, I've not done any of my actual job today.
Like,
yeah. Cause normally I wouldn't do any producing during a day, but then I'd finish like my work day and be like, I'm knackered and I've not even read a single email yet. Like, so that was kind of finding that balance. Like we couldn't probably do as much as we'd want to in terms of events and stuff during the second lockdown, because so much of my day was taken up with radio. So you're never going to be able to do everything you want.
Well, especially if like you're on your own, you're just trying to keep the station on air. It's a big enough task, I'd have thought.
Yeah. Like one of my predecessors said, like, you know, do as much as you can with the radio, like have big dreams and everything. But at the end of the day, your job is to keep LSR on air.
Yeah.
That is your number one priority, and then everything else on top is a bonus. So it's kind of, as long as we're still on air and everyone can do their shows and, you know, we're financially secure and everything, then that's me doing my job, and that's kind of what it requires, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And as the manager, how much control do you have over what the station sounds like and what people do? Because I know as a presenter, we get pretty much free rein to do whatever we want. I mean, is that always a good thing, or can the station sound incohesive sometimes?
It's never, yeah. I mean, this is one of the good things about LSR is it's so varied. We try to, obviously we can't control who applies with what kind of show, but in general, you do get kind of the same types of shows. And when we do our scheduling, we have a program controller who's Carmen this year. And then each section of the schedule has its own editor. So we're at the start of each semester, when we sit down to do our editing, we kind of try and fit what shows have applied and got successful applications into the schedule, so it's cohesive. So we kind of have, you know, more lighthearted shows in the morning and early afternoon, speech shows, and then, you know, your specialist music shows in the evening. You've got shows that fit in better with the weekend. Yeah. So we can't, obviously we can't control what shows applied, but
we try and have it so it, to make sure it fits.
We don't have like some hardcore gabba show at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like there is some sort that tries to go into the scheduling. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing you've learned from being station manager? Big question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe ask me at the end of May. I'm going to be like, the biggest thing I learned is I hate everyone and I hate radio. I want to be left alone. But no, I don't know. I think it's made, certainly it boosts your confidence a lot. Like when I started in August, because I started still in kind of lockdown, I wasn't allowed into the office for the first month. And I started and I was like, oh my God, this is so much responsibility. Like we're a massive station. We've got hundreds of members. Like, am I responsible for all of these? Really? That wasn't a smart decision. So, but like after a few months and you start broadcasting, you kind of do get a lot of confidence, really. Yeah. And I think that will probably be what I take away from it the most, is that, you know, it's a challenge. I've never worked in a position with this much responsibility. Like before this, I worked in a conference center, which was great, but I was kind of, you know, my boss told me what needed doing and I did it.
You're number one now, effectively.
Yeah.
So that's a big step up.
Yeah. Cause you're either working in a job like that when you're a student or with your uni work, like you're just responsible for you. But now I'm kind of I'm the person that everyone goes to first if they've got questions or problems. Kind of like the first pit stop, really. So kind of having that responsibility I've never really had before.
That's quite a big
challenge. It did take a few months to get used to
settle
it
in. Yeah,
but you start to feel more comfortable when broadcasting started. You kind of got into it a bit, but without really realizing. Then a couple of months in, you're like, oh, you know, I no longer feel like an imposter. I'm no longer turning to the people who did the job before me and go like, oh, this is broke. What's happening? Or what's the password for the email? Like, I feel kind of more comfortable now.
Yeah, that's good. Now I've got another big question, which I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer, but when I put radio on in my flat or, you know, if I'm just listening to it in general, people ask me why, because for young people, for students, most people don't really see the point because you've got a streaming service that will give you music that you like all the time for very little money. So what is the point in putting in all this effort?
Yeah. I think my answer to that would be different from a lot of people's, because I really love music and a lot of different types of music. So when I listen to BBC Six Music a lot, and when I turn that on, I am turning it on because they'll play music that I don't know. Like, it's discovery listening to that sort of radio for me. But I think a lot of people just use it for entertainment, really. It's kind of quite comforting. They like the presenters. They have shows that they like. It's not too dissimilar from TV, to be honest, like watching a talk show or something like that.
It's that connection, isn't it, with a presenter or, you know, with a certain show, and just knowing that there might be a surprise in there or...
Yeah, I think it's a lot more human than kind of, you know, logging onto Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever and binge watching The Office. You're not really getting a human connection compared to if you turn on the radio, you know, it feels a lot more personal to me, which I think it's endured when all these other mediums have come along and why so many people like myself kind of still prefer it to a lot of other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's kind of the convenience of it. Like, I've always got the radio on in the background. Like, when I'm walking, like, I walk into the kitchen, like, oh, this is a cool song, Shazam that, walk off for half an hour, come back in, listen to the news, hear a few segments, and, oh, yeah, that was entertaining, then waddle off somewhere else. It's kind of a lot. I use it for that a lot, just having it kind of just on there in the background.
Yeah, I agree. I hate choosing. So just choose the radio and then they choose for you.
Yeah, no, mine's just permanently set to Six Music. It's very easy. I listen to LSR during the day and then Six Music in the evening.
What's been your highlight as manager? Like, is it the achievement of broadcasting from home so much and overcoming like so many problems, or is there something else?
I think, yeah, it's got to be that at the minute, keeping radio going from my kitchen for 5 weeks with a desk that I had no idea what I was doing when I started putting it all together and had like 20 cables coming out of it. I think that's got to be the biggest achievement, just keeping radio going without a radio station to go into.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we're joking, because the guy who did my job 2 years ago, he goes out with my housemate who did my job last year. So we all see each other like every day. But he joked that his legacy was getting a mini fridge in the office. And I'm like, you know what? I've bought a new kettle thinking about it, and I've got a very impressive range in there now.
Mini fridge or set radio station in your kitchen?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still feeling the benefits of one of them. It's not the radio station in the kitchen.
I remember you telling me a long time ago, that, like, it must have been one of my first shows, that when you did your first ever radio show, you practiced the whole thing the night before. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I used to be quite nervous. Not nervous, but shy. And I didn't really like kind of new things. I mean, I did, but I was...
It's scary.
Apprehensive's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously kind of... I started radio halfway through a year, during exam period, kind of like this time now, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago, yeah. And I was proper nervous, because you get an hour slot. And I was just doing a music show. And so I had all the songs ready. And I was like, oh God, what if it runs over? So in my bedroom the night before, like midnight or something, I did a whole practice run through of my show. So I kind of sat there, introed it, would do my link, play the song, and then just sit there while the song played. And then like note down what time the song ended, and then do a link. I'm like, right, that link's 20 seconds. Note that down, like play the next song. And kind of timed it all just
even
to make
then,
sure
you were
that
so
it all
committed.
Fit. Yeah, yeah, I was a proper king back then.
I'd like to know if anyone else has ever done the whole show the night before.
Home knocks is really excessive. I didn't need to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked because that first show went really well. And because of that, I applied for my own show. And actually, I applied for my own show and I didn't get it, which is what I tell people applying, because I didn't get my first application. I applied for my own music show. and it got rejected. And then like a day or two later, the head of breakfast at the time just messaged me and be like, I need a presenter for Monday breakfast. And it's kind of like a specialist, it's called like Music Monday's breakfast. So it's like a specialist music breakfast show. It's like, your application look like you're real into music. Do you want to do this? I'm like, well, Monday 9 to 11 was the only time I said I couldn't do on my application, but yeah, I'll do it. I missed that lecture, got in a bit of trouble for it, but it's what got me into radio. So I probably wouldn't, if he hadn't picked me up, I don't know if I'd be doing it, because my first application got rejected. So it's kind of weird to think that, like, now it's my job.
And
I very nearly didn't even get onto the radio. So it was kind of, I tell that to, because some semesters will have loads of applications and they won't always get on, but I'll say, I didn't get on my first go, and, you know, I was on committee and now I'm the manager and everything. So
yeah,
just keep going at it.
And just keep trying.
Yeah, but do not sit up all night practicing before your first show, because you don't need to.
I don't know. I might try that. What was your favourite show you've ever presented? Was it that breakfast programme, or did you have something later on that really suited you?
I'd say my favourite, the show that I'm most proud of, was a show I did for 2 years called Got the Blues, which was a show I did on my own that was about blues music, basically. But each episode had a different theme, be it like an individual or a region or a historic period. So each show was kind of like an hour long audio documentary on its subject. And I put loads of work into it, especially in the first year I did it. And I'd write scripts for the whole show, so it's like really smooth and everything. And it won an award for best specialist music show. And kind of that's the most proud I've been of any radio I've done. It was like a real passion of mine.
That's what's so good about student radio, isn't it? Is that one minute you have, like, you know, just your standard pop and chart songs, then you have like a big, like a news discussion or sport, and then you have something just completely random, but also really good like that. It's just like these golden nuggets.
Yeah, we have a few shows each year that are kind of like that sort of specialist music show. Like we had one last semester. This person was really into kind of Japanese lo-fi. Yeah. And like you listen to it and it was her first show. It was the first show she'd ever done. But you listen to it like, one, I didn't know I was this interested in Japanese lo-fi. And two, I think I'm only interested because you're doing a good job presenting it. That's kind of the mark of a good presenter on student radio, is that they'll make you interested in something that you'd
never
have no previous interest in at all. Like I hadn't even thought about that genre of music, and I'd look forward to that show each week because I was like, she's a solid presenter and it's a just nice show to sit and listen to for an hour. So that's the kind of thing I love about student radio, is that I'll kind of listen to people who are so passionate about something which I had no idea about.
Wow. And finally, is there a job you want to do in the future? What's next for you? Because after you finish station manager.
I've got no clue, mate. I've got no clue. I mean, I don't know. I think the thing is, I'm not like super committed to having any one job. You meet some people who are just like, I need to work.
Got their heart set on something.
Like if I do not work in media, I will not be happy. And they'll take any job. But I don't know, I love radio, and it's like I'd just be happy doing radio as a a hobby.
Yeah.
So I'm not, obviously it'd be great to work in media. I love the media industry. But I'd rather be doing something that wasn't media than being a media job I didn't like, or feel like I had to work up to a media job for 10 years. I'd
it's
rather
like a
have
passion
like,
rather than a
yeah
career necessarily.
I'd rather have a media job that I liked than most other jobs, but I'd rather have a job that I quite liked and do a show on a community radio station than just feel like I had to have any media job around, even if I didn't enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know. I'll just concentrate on the job, maybe have a holiday in the summer.
I think you deserve a break.
Yeah, then just see what's out there, really. Yeah.
Well, Leo, thanks so much for talking to us.
No, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
That was Leo Jocelyn, station manager at Leeds Student Radio. I really hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Twitter at TomHornTweets or listen to my shows at mixcloud.com/T0MH0RN. Thanks and goodbye.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, Leo, as well. Everything you wanted to know about student radio, but were afraid to ask. Just finally from me to let you know about Clean Feed. If you're doing an OB or an interview or co-hosting from home, maybe if you're a student during the pandemic, as we've been hearing, then this could be for you. Clean Feed is designed for radio and podcasters, and now it's simple to connect live audio over the web. The quality is great and you can record it too. It doesn't cost anything to get started with Clean Feed, and you can find out more at their website at cleanfeed.net. Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. You'll be treated with special information that next week's guests will be Bush and Richie off of Absolute Radio. Tom Campbell will be speaking to the presenters from the Bower Station on this podcast next week. Hopefully we'll drop on Wednesday morning once again. Sounds painful. Have a good week. Take care of yourselves. Speak soon.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio.